for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, for your daily program. It is National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this daily country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Strong. Like I said, we're going across the nation, you mob, have your say, and a voice for our people, so do utilise it. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Annie Wiley, Manager of Digital Content at Reach Out, and the topic is how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. On the line, we have Annie. Very good morning, Annie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Annie?
So I'm on Gadigal land, which is down in New South Wales in Sydney.
All right, fantastic. So the topic here from Reach Out is how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So, yeah, build a bridge is what we're talking about, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I did, I know we had a good chat about being an ally a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
I did think we were going to talk about stress about the future, but I'm happy to talk about either. So,
what's the other topic you want to talk about? Sorry, Ali?
Being an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, then I'm good to go. Basically, we have worked recently with a young Aboriginal writer, Alice Curry, on a piece of content basically aimed at non-Aboriginal people, trying to, you know, empower them to be, you know, really active and true allies to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the country.
And hearing from a First Nation person, Alice Curry, well, of course, front and centre, First Nation person need to be there regarding building bridges, yeah? You there, Annie? No, I've lost Annie. I'll try and get Annie back. Annie Wiley, Manager of Digital Content at Reach Out. And we're talking about how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And there was this article was written by Alice Curry, as the sister that Annie just mentioned. And Alice Curry is a proud Mundjalali woman from Yungaburra and country located southeast Queensland, and who was born and raised in Brisbane, Queensland. Alice works the communications consultant at Cox NL Ridgeway and is passionate about supporting organisations to deliver on a co-design approach when making campaigns for an about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So, yeah, a very important conversation about building bridges and getting our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters to, a bridge to walk upon in regarding building relationships with First Nation people. So I'd like to hear what they've got to say. I'll try to get Annie back on the line and we'll continue that yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
Come sailing from the north, coming down by raft, past this place you know called Goyoala. Goyoala, Goyoala. down Wong Getty Way. Wong Jung Ming, where they gonna play? Yes.
Yeah, you too, Deli Willie Brimman. That's Damara and Gulula here on your Deli program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up again with Annie Wiley and continue our conversation. Annie, you there?
I'm here.
Sorry, and I'm here. Thank you. So, manager of digital content at Reach Out. We did talk about how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but the other topic that you wanted to talk about as well, new research finds young people in regional Australia have stressed about the future as their city counterparts, but less likely to seek support. So, let's elaborate on that, please, Annie.
Yeah, so we did a bit of research a short while ago with young people across Australia, and one of the key sort of things that we heard was that young people are really worried about the future, and that's not an uncommon thing over the last few years. But this year, with the pandemic and all of that sort of thing,
escalated.
Young people are, it's really escalated. And even with things like, climate change and the Black Lives Matter movement, these really big global conversations are happening, and young people are just really worried about what's next for them. And then,
well, we as adults now, we've got a lot to answer for, haven't we?
Exactly. And so and that's, it's reaching through to our young people who are just going, well, I'm 17, I'm 18, I'm meant to be going off to TAFE or getting a job or going to uni, and but what is that actually going to look like for me in this future world? Mm. And what does that future world look like? And then what we found is that actually young people in regional and rural areas are significantly concerned about this, firstly, but also far less likely to be seeking help about this stress, and that's really concerning for us.
Sure, yes. Who do they turn to?
Exactly, and it's concerning because we know that something like stress about the future, it can escalate into other significant issues like anxiety and depression. Like, that's a starting point. And if you don't seek help early, then, you're at risk. So,
In a way, a bit overthinking the situation, because we're talking about the world and the climate. But if you look and bring it back into your space, what can you do tomorrow? What's your attack? And, along those lines in regard to the stress that it pulls upon them because they're thinking big.
Yeah, and that's actually exactly one of the tips that we give, is to actually focus on your situation. Focus on your right now. Mm. And that right now might just be today, right? So, like, if you've got to do today, you've got to, apply for a job, you've got to fill in an application for a course. That's what you have to do today. Let's not worry about tomorrow or the weekend or next year.
Break it down.
Break it down into really manageable, simple steps and goals, so that your goal isn't to buy a house, which is a huge goal, right?
Sure, yeah. Or you get your license, you know what I mean? And,
your goal might be to save,
get a balance,
$100,
Exactly.
That might be your first goal. And once you break things down like that, suddenly, the stress about the future isn't insurmountable. It's actually manageable chunks of things that you can kind of, actively work towards. Focusing on your now is just is such a good tip. And also thinking about, okay, well, maybe this thing that I wanted to do in the future might not happen the way that I thought it would.
Sure.
Because of COVID or because of whatever. And having plan Bs and plan Cs and plan Ds, so that when something doesn't go right and that something doesn't go the way you thought, you've got another option at the ready.
Yes.
So you're ready to kind of just go.
So Reach Out did the research as such because, you're communicating with young ones anyway in regard to the work that you guys do. And this is the information that you found in regarding the vision for the future is a bit cloudy for young ones?
Yeah, it makes sense. 2020 has been a really hard year for everybody, for young people, for adults, for parents, for school teachers, for everybody. But particularly for young people, in that end of school time, when end of school is usually this really exciting, joyous thing that people, have all these rites of passages around, and you're really thinking about your future. You're kind of transitioning from being a young person to an adult. And 2020's changed that for a lot of people. And so, it's really taken a toll on the way that young people view what possibilities they might have. So, you know, one of the things we just, you know, want to say is that actually there's a lot, you know, if you're a young person thinking and feeling these things, you're not alone. There are young people across Australia, particularly in regional rural areas, that are actually having these same thoughts and feelings. And so, you know...
Well, I always say, Annie, that there's 45-year-olds that they don't know what they're going to do with their life. So it's okay.
100%. 60-year-olds.
Thank you.
Do we ever know what we want to do?
Well, exactly.
Life?
Yeah. But you never know if you never ever go. This is a slogan.
And that's one of the things. It's like, you know, you don't even have to talk to people your age. You can talk to an aunt, an uncle, your footy coach. Mm. You know, there's just so many people in your in young people's networks that actually probably have gone through these exact same thoughts and feelings. And speaking to somebody and just having a yarn can make such a significant difference to actually just realizing, oh wait, like I'm not alone. Like this is not this crazy far out thing that no one else is experiencing. This is something that, you know, other people are going through and other people have advice on, you know?
Yeah, we're looking at a flight of steps. We don't take six steps at a time. We just take one step at a time, and that's what we need to do, break it down.
Exactly. You know, you don't go, okay, cool, I think I might take up running. Great, I'll go run a marathon, you know?
No. Do the jog around the block first.
God, I'd walk around the block, to be honest.
Yeah, we're putting all the cards on the table now, aren't we, Annie? Fantastic.
You know, so being kind to yourself. Beautiful.
Being
kind to yourself through this.
How do people get in touch with Reach Out?
Yeah, so head to reachout.com. And if you want resources around this, you know, concerns about the future, just hop on reachout.com and search future stress or search, you know, work or money. And you'll find heaps of resources. Same with parents. We've got a lot of resources on how to help your kids with this.
Good.
Reachout.com/parents.
Chat.com. Fantastic. Great talking with you, Annie. All the best to you and your team. And we say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Trevor.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
To Dilly. Beautiful yarn there. Annie Wiley, her name is, Manager of Digital Content at Reach Out. And after that chat there, the Reach Out organisation found in their research young people in regional Australia as stressed about the future as their city counterparts, but less likely to seek support. So the support help is there. It's about reaching out and they'll reach back. So reachout.com, check them out. And for our parents as well, there's a lot of tools and advices there to how to support and guide your young ones into the future. And we look at a flow of steps. Don't take 10 steps at a time. We just take one step at a time. So do your bit and do it that way. So that's very, very important. So make sure you do it. Like I said, by a mile, it's a trial. By a yard, baby, it's too hard. But inch by inch, it's a cinch. And that's the mentality that you need to have. Fantastic. I got a caller coming in. I believe we've got Brother Trevor Peckham on the line. Trevor, you there, brother?
Yes. Dear Nora family, good morning to all.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Yes, I'm flying like dinner at Eagle when he's doing that song, Eagle Rock.
Eagle Rock. You're rocking through the day, my brother.
On the ground one, you know, you look good too.
You're travelling good, brother?
Well, I'm ringing you up, my big bro, because I guess it's a bit of a sad indictment on Australia's focus on our elders and Bamanandji, the families themselves, First Nation people. My big bro, are they trying to pass a bill where they make this mandatory just 100% done? You've got a basic card.
That's a due card, eh?
Yes, big bro.
Yes. There's a lot of talk about that. Some people aren't for it. It's a way of dictating to elders.
Yeah, there's a lot of elders that are not for it because they are managing their coin well.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have those elders in our community who manage their money well, then I don't think our community would be running at all.
Well, true, and a lot of elders feel it's another form of control.
Well, you know, that's being honest, my big bro.
Yeah,
I'm
true, brother.
Ringing up for you, my big bro, because you might have heard more on the grapevine.
Yeah, you know, there's been talk about it.
While COVID is hitting the headlines and guaranteed that we have to stay safe, be clean, and always do what Nana said to us anyway.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's normal. You can't walk into mum's house looking horrible. You got to go fresh.
Yeah, exactly. Have pride.
That's normal. That's normal, but I don't think it's normal doing things where you're sort of a little bit under the covert of covert with this basic thing.
True. Good point. Good point. Well, a lot of elders do complain about it, my brother, and we've been having conversations on the airways here about it.
I'm just walking down the road, and I had three or four elders say to me, "Son, did you hear about what they're trying to do?"
No. I hear more negative press than positive press.
I'm just saying to the ones that matter, their voice never going to get heard on a big show.
Yeah, good point. Good point, brother.
But the thing is, my big brother, you might know a bit more about why they're trying to do it undercover in a way, only for the First Nations people. They even label and put it out there on paper who's going to have it as mandatory.
Yeah. A conversation we need to have. Thank you for bringing it to the table. And I need to get in touch with somebody and explain reason why and what is the rules of engagement and is it compulsory?
And if it's the last sitting parliament meeting now, that's what they want to push through.
Yeah.
And then it's next year they already rocked in, done, next.
Next, that's right, exactly. It's out of the in tray, in the out tray now. Yep, I hear you, brother.
If us in the who can talk and walk for the old people don't say something to our members, and I have to ring up Warren and say, what the hell?
Well, exactly, exactly.
Because that's what we've got to do, eh, big brother?
Exactly, my brother.
We've got to let the members of our peoples tell them.
Well, we speak for people who can't speak, brother.
That's what we're saying here at home, eh?
Exactly.
So what are we got to do today? I think in the very near now is make it known that we don't agree to this as Australia.
Here, here.
As the people of Australia.
Exactly.
For what, big brother?
Yep, I'm picking up what you're putting down, my brother. Thank you very much, my brother, but a conversation needs to be had, and we'll try and chase that up, brother. That's Trevor Packham there, adding to the conversation and concerns about the due card, I believe it's called. We've had conversations about that, and it's a way of having elderly people's money control is what I'm picking up, you know, and a lot of negative press came from our people about it. So I'd like to pursue that conversation and have it on the airways here so you can have your say and we can all get educated on the so-called future of our elders and regarding our money, our pension. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. All right, too deadly. Got another call on the line. Got brother Nigel Warren calling in. Wow, man. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Hey, that's 2 days in a row now.
Yeah, money? What you chasing me for?
We've got washed out of Kuara.
Oh, so you're doing your plumbing work there. You're washed out. Yeah, so now you've got the day off, have you?
Yeah, we've stopped now, and so I thought, I've turned on your station and bang, I'm here, Cuss.
Have a yarn with brother Trev.
I've got to make it straight. I've got to make it straight while you were in town with the hospital buds. It's because you played 110 minutes football, Yabba.
It was a draw at the end, I think it was under 18 grand final, Cairns versus Mackay.
Yes, that's us, yeah.
And we had to go 10 minutes each way. Yeah. There wasn't golden point back then, eh, Nige?
No, it wasn't, man.
So we had to play the whole and the heat, the whole 100 minutes, and the heat was on, brother.
It was on, and no more sweat left.
Dehydrated, that's right. I went to the hospital.
That's right, yeah. I thought I'd just turn around and clarify and make it straight there for you.
Yeah, because you make that bad picture. Make that bad picture. People think, well, what sort of football am I? Can't he hack it? But nah, 100 minutes of football in the heat.
And it's always like the other guest you had, the lady there. You need someone to talk to, so I call you to have a chat.
Too deadly, my brother.
Wow.
Wow, wow. So in your job, in your profession, when the flood's on, then if it's raining, then you can't do work, brother. So you take the day off.
Oh, mate, we were digging holes in the rain. We had to go with the top level, the water level, to know how deep we are.
Yeah, gotcha.
Oh, good. I mean, just small yarn, my brother.
Oh, my brother. Well, thank you for sharing and thank you for setting that story straight. And now the people can look up at me instead of looking down at me.
Yeah, you were MVP, Yabba, on the losing side.
Yeah, too deadly, my brother. One love, Nige. One love, Wawa, man.
I've got you on thumb dial now.
Two deadly cuss. One love, brother. Wawa. Nigel Warren, beautiful chatting with the brother, PNG brother, and his plumber. We had a beautiful yarn yesterday. Been up at Torres Strait for 18 years doing the plumbing, and that's where he got the nickname Wawa Man for Wawa, yes, yes. And he is a yes, yes man, bubbly, cheerful, full of beans, and a deadly brother. Good to have him back on the mainland here. Have you say, Yarn Strong, 1-800-422-416. Let's go to Pitter Pitter Woman with Tom Gertz.
Two Deadly Pitter Pitter Woman, Tom Gertz here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Speaking of yarning up strong, we've got Which Way Yarning happening now with the Edmonton Police, and that's proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA and Brinsmead, and they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media, and we talk healthy living, healthy lifestyle. That's what it's all about. Chew on a fruit rather than a Snicker bar. That's what it's all about. Yarn Up Strong here. We've got Sergeant Glenn Delay come to join us. Also, Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke, and they brought their bodyguard. That's our first year Constable Michael Schmuck come to join us. A very good morning to you all.
Good morning, Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm well, I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. It is the silly season, festive season, and it's all about celebration, being with our loved ones, but we need to do it carefully and safely. We're talking road safety. Every day, road crashes devastate the lives of Queenslanders and all Australians and take an enormous toll on families and communities. The number of lives lost and people seriously injured in crashes on Queensland roads continue to rise, and that speeding, drive, distractions, drink and drive, drink and drug driving, driving tired, seat belts and restraints. So a very important conversation there, Nicole, my sister.
Yes, well, we have had a chat about this before previously, back in September, but like you said, the silly season. So this is a good time to remind people that, you know, we use the roads quite a lot during Christmas time, and the one of the fatal five is speeding.
Yes.
Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, speeding. That is a big drama. You know what I mean? We've got the speed limits out there, so abide by the speed limits.
Yeah, and those speed limits have been chosen based on. All the elements have been taken into consideration. The road surfaces, the area around the roads, is it built up area? If it's not, trucks use it, all those sort of things. So that speed is not because they decided on it on the day, it's because of the safety factors that are involved.
Sure. And abide by them. They're the rules, that's all, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going from point A to point B, catch up with family, celebrations or the appointment, but get there safely.
Yeah, it's not about breaking land speed records. Getting there safely and getting your loved ones there safely. But it's not only that, like speeding, distraction, that sort of thing is, it can contribute to, you know, an accidental clipping. You lose a grip of the steering wheel, you clip the gutter, and then that can throw the car into another direction, which then you could, are there children there? Are you mowing down children or old people? So it's not, no one gets in the car to do those things, but they are, there could be accidents that can occur.
And statement here is the faster you go, the harder you hit. So
yes.
Yeah, even that statement, it just opens your eyes, doesn't it?
Yes.
I bring Michael Schmuck into the conversation, first-year constable. Michael, very good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Trevor. Well, thank you.
Good. First year. How are you travelling in the first year, my friend?
Yeah, really good, actually. Loving it so far.
Good. And where do you stem from, mate?
From South Australia.
South Australia. Saw the light. Come to Cairns, far north Queensland.
Yeah, it's great. I love it here.
So you're going to add to the conversation regarding road safety?
Yep.
What you got there, my friend?
Okay, so I'll talk about fatigue.
Yes.
Fatigue doesn't only relate to falling asleep at the wheel. Even brief lapses in concentration can have serious consequences. So on average, 31 people are killed and 462 seriously injured each year on Queensland roads as a result of crashes where fatigue plays a part. However, the actual number may be much more higher because it can be difficult to know if fatigue contributed to the crash. Often it is one of a number of factors.
Some of those factors, mate?
Okay, so being awake for about 17 hours has a similar effect on performance as having a blood alcohol concentration of 0.05. Fatigue-related crashes are often severe and frequently occur when the driver is alone.
Yep.
Most sleep-related vehicle crashes happen between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., between 2 a.m. and 4 p.m. Young drivers or riders, 16 to 24, are involved in approximately 30% of fatigue-related crashes.
And the other thing with, if I can just add to that, the other thing with fatigue is that people think that they can just take those no-dose tablets or drink coffee or Coke or something to keep, like, because the caffeine's going to keep you awake.
Sure.
That, in fact, I was reading... when I was looking at the road safety things, that in fact is not true.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Like, it can, yes, it can keep you awake, but it's not going to remove the distractions from driving. It's not going to remove the heavy eyes, that kind of feeling, because driving kilometres, especially at night, it becomes boring and mundane.
Sure.
And that's, you sort of start, you're you can feel.
And there's only one thing that can fix that, Nicole, and that's sleep.
That's a nap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
pull over, have a sleep.
Pull over, have a sleep. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Have those rest breaks, and that's the one way to eliminate your fatigue out of your driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a 1 hour nap. Yeah, like some people have, they have what they call corporate companies, they have the kips,
yeah,
like power naps.
Mm.
Yeah.
And executives will go in their dark room or switch the lights off or whatever, have a sleep halfway, come back all fired up to do the business. So what we're saying is take a nap.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you my little trick when I was on night shift and I had a fair drive home.
Mm.
As soon as I felt the effects of fatigue, which after night shift we all do.
Yes.
I'll pull over and I'll set my phone alarm for 20 minutes, wind back my chair and have a camp in my car, and it worked a treat.
Yep.
You know, you'd reduce that fatigue.
Yes.
It was only a 20-minute sleep, but that was enough then to keep driving. But pushing yourself to keep driving beyond that, then you become a danger on the road.
And I think it's the discipline of making that decision to pull over and have that break, you know what I mean? Versus safe than sorry.
It's with some people too, it could be an ego thing. Oh, no, I can drive all night. Well,
I got this.
No, you can't.
Mm, that big nudge yourself.
That's it.
Yeah. So speeding, fatigue, driver fatigue, that's another topic there. We also we're talking about the drink and drug driving, you know. I mean, yeah, mobile distraction as well, mobile phones,
So we'll touch on the drinking and drug driving.
Yes.
Everyone's aware of it. It's out there. We know how deadly and how dangerous this can be to people in control of a car or a vehicle and people who within the community. Like, because once something happens, there is no undoing it.
Exactly.
And I was watching something on the TV over the weekend. It was in the blink of an eye where some children got knocked over by a vehicle.
Mm.
And they were talking about once the driver got out of the car, how immediately he was very sorry and very, oh my God, and wanted to run and wanted to. It was obvious that he didn't want this situation to take place because no one does.
Sure.
But that is the reality
of the situation,
of drinking.
Split second afterwards, you know.
Affected, yeah.
Hey, look, people get frustrated when they see the RBT on the side of the road, you know. But look, if you hadn't had a drink or haven't taken drugs, you ain't got no drama. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're nothing to worry about. And you guys doing your job to keep everybody safe.
But obviously we have to do it because the message is not getting through. People are still driving whilst they're affected by drugs or alcohol. Mm. So that's why we will continue to do it.
Look, fatality has happened, and our thoughts are going out to loved ones who've lost loved ones along the way.
Yes.
Because of the same thing we're talking about here.
Yes, that's right.
So we need to think about that as well, you know. Best be safe than sorry.
Another distraction is also mobile phones.
Yep.
That's a big one. People just want to be connected all the time. Like,
who wants to talk?
No one wants to talk to you all the time. Yeah. Just face it.
Oh, they're calling me. I'm important.
I'm so important.
What do you think about that, Michael?
Yeah, so the rule hasn't changed with mobile phones. Obviously, it's illegal to have the phone in your hand while you're driving a motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Includes texting, making any phone calls, and performing any sort of function on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, if you're driving a motor vehicle, don't have your phone.
Look, they're talking big fines there as well, aren't they?
Yeah. So, the fine, it's a $1,000 fine and four demerit points.
That's going to hurt this Christmas.
$1,000.
2020. Yeah. Good year. And then we need all the bucks we can. $1,000.
Yes. And I will say Nicole's very good at detecting the mobile phone tickets in and around Edmonton. She's got a little.
I've given out a few already before Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not.
I was going to say people don't like it, but in actual fact, that's their own fault.
No, they don't. And I make no apologies for it because it's in and around school zones.
Yeah.
And I look at it as if I'm trying to help us keep our younger members of our community safe. So we don't. I specifically don't let those things slide because don't put kids in danger. That's my big thing.
There you go.
I think people need to be aware too that on bikes as well, bicycle riders, if they're using their phone.
That's illegal as well.
Yeah.
$1,000 fine.
I don't ride bikes, so there you go. So
a bike is a vehicle.
Yeah.
There it is. Yep. So you can't. Well, you can talk while riding?
No.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Don't use your mobile phone with the push bike and also your P2 license holders and that. If
I'm okay on my skateboard.
If you are that deadly and that coordinated, you're good to go.
Yeah. Shut up, Murray. I'm riding a skateboard, trying to impress you, but that didn't work. All right, so look, very important. It is the silly season. It's festive season. It's about catching up with family, loved ones, and having a good time and celebrating. And because the yucky year we did have, thanks to COVID-19, it's a very, how you say, everyone's looking forward to the celebration, but we need to do it safely.
That's right.
Mm. And I believe you're going to add something there as well, Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLoy.
Yeah, look, I just want to dink on the end of the road safety messages. Something that we don't normally talk about on BBM is our quad bike accidents.
Oh, yeah, quad bike, yeah.
So we've just...
Mainly farmed or maybe...
Look, they do have it on farms and acreage, but, you know, we've just had one of recent in the north here, And you know, our government has recognised that some of the issues with quad bikes is their safety features. So
yeah.
They have changed some of the rules. So from October this year, new bikes that are sold have got to have a hang tag, so it actually tells you when it's going to tip over onto the two wheels.
Okay.
And also a warning label. You know, the bike warns that the quad bike's about to tip over. So, but that doesn't negate your responsibilities as a driver.
But we've had fatalities with quad bikes, haven't we?
Yeah, so we've had 17 this year. That's double or over double last year.
Is that right?
So I don't know whether there's any real reason or why that's actually occurred this year, but it's not a number that we'd like to see.
Yeah.
Look, quad bikes,
they're strong little machines, aren't they?
They are. And look, we have our own police quad bikes, so we do a training course on them. I owned a quad bike at the time, and when we did the course, they showed us how easy they were to roll, and one of the girls on the course did roll and sustain a back injury, and that's a police officer under controlled conditions. So mine got quickly sold, probably because I live on a bit of a hill, so
gotcha.
Not the safest machine to be on a hill.
Yeah.
From October next year, they've got to be fitted with a rollover device to protect the rider because there hasn't yet been a fatality on a quad bike with one of those rollover protection devices. So.
Well, in actual fact, the quad bike should be sold with the bars, should they not?
Yeah, and look, I think that goes down to what they originally they probably were intended for flat level blocks on farmland, not to be driven at speed. And you know, a lot of the fatalities when they roll over, certainly when you pull the brakes on and the bike gets a little bit sideways.
Yep.
The next point is it is going to roll.
You even look at it on a golf course, those golf buggies, same sort of thing. Mm. They're there for a reason, but some people go over and above beyond.
And they roll
like a little scooter, a little go-kart, but it's not the case, is it?
And when we have these 600, 800 kilo machines rolling over the top of us, we can see why we have these fatalities. So, you know, I mean,
Christmas
is coming up. I know on a lot of kids' gift lists are those little tiny quads.
Yeah, true.
Look, they're not immune. They're not immune from children's deaths as well. You know, some of the figures I got here is 15% of deaths involves children.
Yes.
And the smaller ones can roll over or hit other objects and injure organs, which can lead to serious injury or death. So something to consider.
Exactly. Look, a very important conversation, road safety, quad bikes, be safe, you mob. This is the festive time and need to be careful. And look, think before you act and drink driving, speeding, fatigue, all the above. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and my sister. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Oh, can I just say a really quick hello to my Nana in Brisbane?
Okay, Nana.
Nana's listening. Nana
big
and Papa.
Nana and
big
Papa.
Shout
big
out.
Shout out. One love. And you be catching up with them?
Not this Christmas. Hopefully in the new year, yes.
All right. So love going out to Nana and Poppy there. Fantastic.
Thank you.
All the best, you guys. Merry Christmas. We'll yarn soon.
Thank you. See you.
Bye. A beautiful yarn with the boys and girls in blue, and that's Which Way Yarning segment, proudly sponsored by Pocone, IGA and Brinsmead, and give us a box of food here at Bummer Brisbane Media's Healthy Living, Healthy Lifestyle. And it's about road safety and about quad bike safety. Need to do your bit, your mob. Travel safe, have a good time, but think before you act. That's what I wanted to say. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Have you say 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
rambling of my country. Long time ago, big rain men come long of my country. Whipping up no mangare, long of eating bad feet. Whipping up no coyo, long of eating bad feet.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Long time ago, Peter Brandy here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Going to catch up a yarn now with Kevin Burrow, Butterfly Foundation CEO, and the topic here, a matter of life or death. Critical funds needed to open Australia's first eating disorder residential recovery centre. So on the line we have Kevin. Kevin, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Kevin?
I'm based in Sydney, but I'm currently sitting up in the Sunshine Coast.
All right, fantastic, because borders are open. That's why you're sitting up there, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great to get up here.
Good on you, mate. Now, listen, a matter of life and life or death, critical funds needed to open Australia's first eating disorder residential recovery centre. So tell us about this, please.
Yeah, so one of the challenges if you have an eating disorder in Australia is often when you in hospital, there's a lot of focus on treating the physical symptoms, and that can often mean, you know, low weight and the like. But the underlying psychological symptoms that play in the mental illness never get treated. And so the facility we're building, which goes by the name of Wanda Merida, will be a facility that is based in the Mooloolah Valley on the Sunshine Coast, offering 24/7 care, often for several months. And the whole goal is to really treat those underlying psychological symptoms.
Yes, because eating disorder is a mental illness, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So eating disorders are quite complex mental illnesses. They have one of the highest death rates of any of the mental illnesses, mainly because they come with a range of physical symptoms, and they also have, you know, very high suicide rate, unfortunately.
Yeah. So when we're talking eating disorder, that could be overload of food, but also the other way around, you know, in regarding not eating enough?
Yeah, absolutely. So perhaps most commonly people think of an eating disorder as anorexia nervosa, which is limiting the amount of food that one takes in. But there's also things like binge eating disorder and bulimia, where people may eat a huge amount and then they may compensate and try and get rid of the food. So that is actually more common than people realise.
And look, with a mental disorder, I mean a mental illness, it doesn't discriminate, does it?
No, it absolutely does not. It hits all walks of life, and there is a slightly higher proportion that are female versus males, but males also get touched. And it's pretty clear across all ethnicities that eating disorders exist and are very, very challenging.
So I've got a figure here, $2.5 million needed to open Wanda Merida to start developing life-saving care for Australians with severe complex mental illness, regardless of their financial status. How are you going in regard to the application or the funding?
Yeah, so we were very lucky initially to get some funding from Minister Hunt and the federal government to start building the facility. And there will be a proportion of Australians who can afford this level of care, but we want to be there for those who don't have the financial means, and that's why we're pursuing the fundraising target. So we just kicked off really on Monday, and so we've just started to chase that down, and we're also hopeful that maybe the Queensland government might step up and provide us some funding to get our doors open.
All right, so for people to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
So if they log on to our website, it's butterfly.org.au, they'll see a donate button, or they can go and search for Wanda Merida, and that will take them through to our donate page and some more information.
All right, fantastic. So it's reaching out. That's what it's all about. And money is the tool that we're looking for to make this come to fruition and support this fantastic movement as such. Thank you very much for coming to the program, Kevin. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there. Kevin Burrow, Butterfly Foundation CEO, and it's a matter of life or death, but critical funds needed to open Australia's first eating disorder residential recovery centre. And it is a part of mental illness and a eating disorder, and whether overweight or eating overboard or eating less. It's about fixing up this this illness as such. And so looking for a recovery centre, very important. And you can donate dollar coin. If we all did that, that'd be fantastic. Support at butterfly.org.au. And that's where we can do support at Eating Disorder Victoria helpline as well, 1300 55023. For urgent support or call Lifeline 131114. Reach now for your mob, and just need for you to reach back if you're that way inclined. Okay, thank you very much for your time. Murray, going to sign off here very soon. Got the news coming up here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416 if you're going to squeeze in the yarn too deadly.
Sometimes it's a part of life, of growing up, you must try. It's a beautiful process of love and devotion, of meeting someone, look into their eyes. And if you feel the chemistry there, ask them for the name, happy at the moment. And if you're blinding them, take your hands. That's the start of sports, one of little romance. Small love, small, small love. It's the start of something that can reach best part of a bed. Young love is the part of growing up. We're a couple married for 25 years and more. They started as small, small to long love. Cherish all the love and respect. That's what you need to make your love connect. Love each other with only eyes for one another throughout your whole life. Problems, no matter who you are. But if you stay true to one another, everything will pass you by. But you must discover that you have to build on love together. Small love, small, small love. It's the start of something that can reach the stars above. Long love is a part of growing up. There's not a response for that.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Small love, Troy and Trevor and Brady here on your daily program, National Talk Black. But I give you big love, you mob. Have you say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up now. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Good morning, everybody. I wasn't going to call up today, but I heard the police on about the road safety and tired drivers and the danger.
Yes.
And we're campaigning campaigning to get the rest area reopened. There's a rest area shut, you know?
Yeah, yeah, good point. Exactly.
This is it. This is the ridiculousness of the situation. Yeah, they come on there and say all that, and that's all true. And the ATVs. The ATVs, we've got a ton of them down the green patch now. And some people are really well off, and they come there and they've got one each, a big one, and they've got their little kids and they've got one each, and they got all the gear and they go there.
Well, the as we mentioned before, look, it seems that it takes a fatality for them to change the rules. And that's a sad cost, isn't it?
That's a sad cost, and the disaster, man, they're creating a dangerous place for these people to pursue their activities, and it's not just ATVs, it's motorbikes, it's four-wheel drives. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yep. That's Tony. Lost you there, Tony. Sorry, brother, but yarn up song here, National Talk Black. Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. We're back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, here at BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And the voice for our people, so do utilise it. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic, mob. Do not be laxy-daisy.
What's good? Shout out to the homie DJ Darren on this one. Had to get Naka, Jagger RZA. Let's go. Feeling good right now. Titters, First Nations. Let's go. Can never claim to keep a gangster, no need to prove it. Every minute, every second of the way needs a movement. We solid, we do it, we did it, we go. So fresh, I think the English is my second language. But no, I'm certain for them land rights, power to the people. Shoot, that go in a winner, so remain equal. Ha, and they ain't gotta kill my vibe. But real, recognize real when the truth cries. Hey. One for them land rights, two, make him vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor. One for them land rights, two, make him vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor. I leg out. Resume, ticking off the meter, straight to the dance floor, Shauka Siva. They realize that we're vibing with indigo, capitalize, so now we're hitting the centerfold. Anecdote, visualize I'm making him panicle. Bucket up a last ride, wrap it again and go. Sick, yeah, let's make him wilder with that poly good shoulder shrug, test my style.
Side, let her beats fire, them as she collect. They call him boy, run.